Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. Welcome to VFN Radio. A trumpet blast is taking place by the anointed voice of the Lord, joining in with a chorus of trumpet warnings that are taking place in the world. It's exciting to hear people just like Michael Bodia, who was just on yesterday. And if you missed it, you got to catch it. You got to catch it. This is the grandson. I mean, he is in his own called by God. But a lot of us know him on the Gulf Coast area and in America. When we first met him, when he was the interpreter for his grandfather, Dimitri Dudeman, who wrote a book, which is so important because that's exactly the word that, and I didn't know this. I mean, you know, this is, you'd be surprised how we find this out. God just shows us as we go. We get the up and go, and he starts showing us. But his book, The Prophetic Word, and his testimony is through the fire and not burned. Wow. And that was the original word. The word was, you know, if it means a fiery furnace, you know, our God can deliver us from it. But even if he doesn't, he's still God.
That's right. That's right.
And then here, you know, Michael Bodia joins us as the interpreter for his grandfather. And now continuing on, I want to encourage you, if you did not yet go to handtohelp.com to be able to support the orphans of Romania, you probably want to do it, Wealthy America, on this side of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Because the equation, this transference of wealth and these different kind of things that you're hearing, they might be prophetic, not political, like so many people are saying.
I know.
When our poorest folks in America are richer than 80% of the 7 billion people on the face of the earth, you know, if we could have just humbled ourselves, we could keep it and give it away, you know, and be, every one of us could be philanthropists for God. Every one of us could be philanthropists for the Lord. But we kept on saying we wanted more instead of giving away what we had. And it's like, oh, dear God, Lord, forgive us. But think about 80%. I don't know. What's 80%, Pat? You're good at this. What's 80% of 7 billion?
80%.
Let me see. $5.6 billion.
That is amazing.
Wow.
That is amazing. Think about that.
Yep.
So right now, no matter how much, I'm telling you, we can't even find you. You know, you're like, I don't know where you are in America, but you're the least financially well-doing person in America. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you are in the country, but you are not doing, you're the least. I mean, you got, what, three? How many Americans are we have now? Like three or four of them? 300 million?
300 million.
Okay, now you're like the 300 millionth whatever person. I mean, you got like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Understand this. You're richer than 5.6 billion. 5.6 billion people in the face of the earth.
Wow.
Think about it. It's because you're living in a blessed country that God blessed, by the way, in which the enemy is trying to pull God from over, and darkness is not coming in because it pushed its way in. It's coming, it's manifesting because the light ceased to shine. The church has failed to be the light that we're called to be. And, that's the poorest person in America. So now let's just move up to like the average income person. You think about the average income person in America, that means, you're in the top 3% of the world. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're in the top of the world, man. Think of it. I'm at the top of the world of income and wealth and blessing. And oh my goodness, the question is, did you forget God? That's what he told Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He says, when I bring you into this, when I allow you to be born into a country that people are killing themselves to get into, that 40, 50 people get on one boat from Cuba and die and are eaten by sharks trying to get to the coast 90 miles away in Florida, when people are sending their kinfolk, maybe never see again, to be able to jump a wall that we can't build high enough because people really want to get here, and I don't blame them. I don't blame them. And why don't we get into history? Because they're actually just coming into another part of their land that the history of America took from them. Sorry, you know.
Let's not bring
our Mexican
that up,
brothers and sisters, we should talk about that. You know, hey, I got to be honest with you. I did not pay attention in school, and they didn't teach me this. God taught me this. And all I got to say is I'm sorry. And if you want to work anywhere in America, you can work anywhere in America. I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful. And ¿cómo está? Anyway, you know what I'm saying?
That's it.
Muy bien, all that. Okay, so listen.
Bienvenido.
Yes. Well, you know about this. Think about this. The reason why they're fighting to get here, by the way, wealthiest people on the face of the earth, is it's a blessed nation. And too much is given, just like this African minister that was speaking to a group of us over the telephone, and this word just came barreling over, you know, and I'm not going to put a lot of content with it, you know, but just understand this. Despite what was going on, it was a word from the Lord that said, "To much is given, much is expected." And it's like, we didn't just get this blessing so we can swim around. We didn't get this blessing so we could swim around in some deep pool of wealth. God gave us this so we could actually be a city on a hill, so that we can be a light, a lamp of hope, so we could lead them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we could advance the gospel, that people could come to us who don't know God, and just being in the light, that they would be drawn to the goodness and the love of God. But instead, I mean, get this. And this is a future thing we're going to talk about. This is only just a hint. Is that not only are we complaining that we are only in the top 3% of the world, of the 7 billion or whatever it is, 5%. Okay, 5. We'll put, you know, a couple of them up there. And you're talking about individuals, because a lot of wealth is in the hand of a very few people. You know, the Bilderbergs and the, you know,
the Gates
and the, well, they're not even, I mean, the Rothschilds, the George Soros, and the people like this, that, and you put those people together in one room and preach the gospel to them, I'm telling you, Lord knows. Anyway, so, but it's a small amount of people compared to 7 billion people. It's not a whole bunch of folks. But in the context of that, what did we do with this huge blessing called America? What did we do with it? For years, we're the first ones. We're the first ones. That's why the world looks to America, because of our history.
Mm-hmm.
Because of our history of just running to aid. I mean, I'll tell you who's still on the cutting edge, and John will be talking about it in a moment, is Israel still on the cutting edge of being there for even their adversaries in times of crisis with the Syrian gas that's taking place, and he'll be talking about it. They're helping the victims of what's going on when the people that are there really want to destroy them.
Mm.
But America has done that for years because we believe that every man's created in the image and the likeness of God. The Declaration of Independence was not just for us, even though people don't necessarily own that for their own nations. We truly believe that God has created each individual, and he has a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that, but he's created by his creator. And so we honor that if we are to wrongly treat an individual on the face of the earth, I mean, the predominant part of who we are, obviously there's evil everywhere, then we're mistreating God's creation in the image of God. But all of a sudden, it's like, I think the only thing we're doing is providing aid to Islamic nations to be able to promote Muhammad and the Quran and caliphates and Muslim Brotherhood and... I mean, we're rushing in there. I mean, there was one particular thing, I think it was in Indonesia, that they said that the Red Cross reportedly had been, all their stuff was taken, so we needed to send supplies over there to replenish them. I think we were there listening to somebody with Homeland Security that was talking to us.
Right, yeah.
And so we rushed all these supplies over there to refill the Red Cross, and what it was radical Islam that went and took all the things from the Red Cross. And so we're basically... replenishing radical Islam. And understand what Islam. Islam regards, and this is Christian radio, by the way. Christ-centered radio. Jesus is Lord.
Right.
He's the Son of God. He walked this earth, born of a Virgin Mary, walked a sinless life, loves you, loves me, gave his life for us. He died on the cross in our place, and he was buried in the grave, and 3 days later he was raised from the dead by Father God, the creator of the universe. And now he sits at the right hand of God, and he is the only way to God, in case you're wondering. And understanding that in regards to Islam says that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. That he's not the Son of God. And they say that he is a prophet, but he has to come back and apologize for calling himself the Son of God. So the Quran, written by Muhammad, saying that he heard from God, but not our God.
Right.
And if you deny Jesus, you deny your own personal access to God.
That's right.
And you deny God. So if we are supporting an anti-Jesus Christ Islamic nations for the purpose, not for the people, I'm not talking about the people that live there. We love the people and want to help the people out. But if we're actually supporting the caliphate, Muslim Brotherhood type Islamic governments, that itself is the Quranish ways or the anti-Jesus Christ ways that we're partnering with the devil.
Wow.
And it's so interesting. You know, the very elementary things that children use, you know, when a child gets caught doing something, you know, and you go, you did this, and the child goes, nuh-uh, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the child goes, no, you did it. Well, you understand, right?
It sounds like my three-year-old.
I thought it was Second Street. and it's like, but all of a sudden they turn on you, but they talk to you as if you're the one that did what they did. You know, I don't know, duct tape you to a tricycle, run you through a door, and wait for your father to show up, and then point at Chris instead of Pat was the one that broke the door. Anyway, so in case you're listening, Smoke. Am I accurate? Help me out. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Wow, that was cool.
Well, that's what's taking place right now. That this is how you know the devil's lying. His lips are moving. His lips are moving. And there are evil folks in the world that will tape you to your tricycle and make it look like you broke the door. If they don't know Jesus, they'll do anything. Mm. Believe me, there was a day I didn't know Jesus. Right?
Yep.
Can you expound on that? Anyway, so the understand this. So, but it's getting so yes and no and black and white that you can really understand. My goodness, if you want to find out what the devil's strategy is right now, listen to the people and what they accuse you of. Because they're telling you what they're doing. Mm-hmm. When they say, you took cookies from the cookie jar, realize what they just did. They just took cookies from the cookie jar. When they tell you, you have nothing to worry about, everything's totally fine. Mm. This is how you interpret that. Oh my God, you better run for your lives. When they say, no, we did not give guns to anybody, any gangs in Mexico, and we're not arming them. You go, oh my goodness.
Mm.
They have allegedly armed gangs and drug lords in Mexico. You know, think about it. It's so cool. I mean, you can really understand it. Mm-hmm. When they say, we are not trying to take away America's Second Amendment rights or their guns from them. You go, oh my goodness. You're trying to take away our Second Amendment rights and our guns from us.
Mm-hmm.
When they say, no, 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 we're totally, totally for Christians, but we just want to move Islam, the anti-Jesus Christ religion, right by side. Christians, Christ followers. It's like, okay, anti-Christ followers, anti-Christ. Yeah. They're trying to hurt us. That's JJ. That's the Jews and Jesus, man. Oh my goodness! I'm thinking, I've always said this. I said we're not ready for this,
mm-mm.
And we've been doing everything we can to get ready for this. And you know, America has been, you know, sorry. I mean, if you read the history books, we've been spiritual wimps. It's like, my goodness, you know, we're just awed at those in history and those in other countries who stood up for God under great persecution, who sell themselves like the Moravians into slavery. Saying goodbye to their families, and when somebody won't even go away from their family for 30 days or won't even sacrifice for God, they sold themselves into slavery, saying goodbye to their families so that they might win a few of these slaves who were on an island area. The only way to get to them was to go sell yourself as one. Can you imagine an American doing that?
Right. No.
No. You just like, oh my goodness. It's like, is this another Jesus that we serve today? And so it's not. And so we can understand then that if the devil's lips are moving, he's lying. And understand, he will pull out a baby's breath. This is what baby breath is. It's not baby breath, but it's baby breath. Well, it could be baby's breath, but it's baby breath. I know this because when Pat brings flowers to the office, right? Yeah, these are obviously something Pat would never do. Isn't that right, Tracy?
I have once.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. Wow. Please forgive me for that. Mm-hmm. They had like a Saints logo in there somewhere.
Oh, no.
Anyway, so baby breath, or what you do is when you put the basic flower in there and it looks kind of boring, to make it look really, really good, that you put these little small little flower around there to kind of fill it in. And it kind of gives filler to it. And I'm trying to come up with a big word, and I can't remember it. I'm trying to go, what's the word? Anyway.
Accentuate, maybe?
No, that's just, my word was bigger than that.
Oh, hey.
My brain was too small to remember it, though. I was trying to go back to college. What was that word? Now that I bring it up, you're going to think, oh, how? Anyway. So much for pride. I can't remember it. Lord, forgive me. And so, and it fills it in. It makes it look more presentable. But the truth was, you don't really look at the baby breath in the flower arrangement. You look at the rose or the whatever your flower that you're getting. We're not really good at figuring that out. Well, John, help us out here. You have one. You're
move
the pale.
On, move
you're,
on,
we'll move on.
You're the professional.
We don't have time to talk about the flower. We just call you flower child.
Is that what we call me? Okay.
You remember that? I remember that. The flower and your lapel and all this kind of stuff.
It's Rico Suave over there.
Rico Suave. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, back to...
the word of God, yes.
Yes. We probably will have a picture of that in the future on me. As I forgot to take my sunglasses off.
Yeah, I know.
I probably couldn't see anyway if I did that. And so so the baby breath doesn't really, you're not getting baby breath bouquet. You're actually getting roses, but the baby breath presents it well. So this is what the devil does. And this is God, you have to understand, Satan can only use folks who have open doors or empty houses. They have to allow themselves to be used. He has no authority on earth unless a man who's been given authority gives it to him. I mean, in regards to using folks. So he has to use a person, which he will speak and do and act through people who say, you know, they partner with darkness. You know, they don't, and basically, if you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, whether you like it or not, that, you know, you're walking around as a victim and a lot of different things. And so he will tell you a lie, but then he will present it in a good way to make it more presentable. He'll put baby breath around it, which he'll sprinkle it with scripture. He'll bring in Jesus and Isaiah. You know, nobody reads their Bible anymore in America, hardly. 81% don't. And so they won't know, you know, what he's talking about. I was like, was that Isaiah? Isn't that a book in the Bible? That was a psalm. Man, that was the 23rd psalm, man. You know, that's baby breath. But right in the middle of that is the Antichrist. You know, it's like, wake up. Wake up. It's like, come on. That the Satan comes to you as an angel of light. No wonder they call him and his servants, what, servants of righteousness. This is what he says. They preach to you another Jesus. Understand, knowing Jesus and who he is, it's not hard to identify. Don't look at the baby breath. Don't look at what's being presented. Look at the heart of the matter. When somebody's trying to promote radical Islam or any kind of Islam at all, the pretty Islam, flowery Islam, anything to do with Muhammad's perception of God and Jesus not being the son of God, but being only a prophet, that is of the Antichrist. That is an Antichrist spirit. And we say as followers of Jesus Christ and ones who are loyal to him, we just say, hey, no, I don't care how much scripture you sprinkle over that. That ain't Jesus. Mm. Jesus is the only way to him. And I'm all his.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are adults allowed to speak at a school event concerning religion? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, do I, as a pastor or an adult, if I'm invited by a student to speak, if they ask me to, at the school ground?
You probably would if the school allows on-campus visitors that are not parents or guardians. That's going to be the question. And then, if it's before the beginning of the school day, it really should not be a problem to participate in the event that way. However, it does need to be overall. The event should be student-led and student-initiated. That is the test that the Supreme Court consistently utilizes on these issues, and that's what I would encourage you to be looking at. And also, let the school know you're coming. That's critically important here.
The American Center for Law and Justice is here to defend our religious liberties. Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, when I'm sitting here thinking about, the Lord, our God, that when he was with his people, and we could read the word of God, and he shows us, he demonstrated his ability to provide for his people in the wilderness. The first thing he did when he delivered Israel out of bondage and slavery was to take them in a place that they had to totally see that he was going to provide for them no matter what. They were surrounded by conditions with no water and no provision, and they just had to trust God. They had to abide with God. And think about that. And God demonstrated his ability to meet their needs despite what was going on in their economy, in their ecology, with their environment, with the heat and the weather and all that. As a matter of fact, listen to Brother John Kilpatrick with Church of His Presence, and I'll be right back.
And the other day, the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, tell the church, son, when you get back up to preach, he said, tell the church that these things are going to get worse. He said, but tell them, for those that will live by my word, it'll have no effect on them whatsoever. He said, it'll have no effect on them. And what the Holy Spirit here is saying is, even though the economy, like what prophets are saying right now, is that there may be some states in the United States that might be not friendly toward Israel, or they might be real liberal, and they're going to start suffering financially.
Yeah. Yes, that's
right. And there might be other states in the United States that loves Israel and loves God, and they're a God-fearing state, and they have a good governor and good legislature, and they're trying to please God, and they're just going to prosper and get all kinds of new businesses and everything. The Holy Spirit said, just as that's working like sheep states and goat states in the United States, he said the same thing's going to happen in a city, that whoever tithes and obeys me and loves me and serves me, I will pour out my favor on them and my blessings upon them, and nothing can thwart my blessings on these people. They're going to be a demonstration to everyone around them what it means to be a child of God. So I want to encourage you right now in Jesus' name, God is about to bless your socks off right under the devil's nose.
That's so encouraging. That's exactly what, you know, that God's been sharing with us. That's what we're hearing from Rick Joyner and Morningstar Ministries, and those are hearing from the Lord. Listen, don't panic. You're about to be a sign. You're about to be a wonder if you're abiding with God. Jesus said very specifically in John 15, 5 through 7, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, or abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Think about this. He says, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Just like God provided for Israel in the wilderness, the manna that came down in the morning, the shade, and when everybody else is hot, they were covered. God's going to take care of you if you stick with God. You begin to abide with him. If you don't know how to abide with him, you want to begin to abide with him. You know Jesus, but you want to abide, learn how. We have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today. Listen, if you're walking in obedience and abiding with the Lord, hearing his voice, relating to him, he's got you covered. That's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. John, talk to us. What's happening in Israel right now?
My goodness, I just love Israel. You know, in the midst of this tragedy and what's going on in Syria, where you have over 100,000 people that have been killed.
100,000.
The whole country is like a war zone. Just last week.
For those that know, by the way, it's just That's what the country that touches the northern border of Israel. Yeah. That's how close it is.
Yeah. You know, and just last week, the Wall Street Journal reported that the Syrians were moving their chemical weapons all to 50 sites all over their country. And you look at, there's been over 2 million people that have fled that country. Right now, what Israel's doing, and this just, I mean, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. Those that have gotten hurt, civilians, these are citizens, have gotten hurt in the midst of crossfire, in the midst of in this war, somehow they're getting over to the northern border of Israel, and the military, the Israeli military, is bringing them in, mm-hmm. and they're being treated in their hospitals. This is children.
Wow.
There's so much suffering. I was thinking about this as I was coming into. There's so much suffering. It's like, Lord, forgive us. It just goes so perfect with what we talked about in the first hour, to whom much is given, much is required. I don't think we have a true grid in this country about suffering. How can we really connect that word with us when you look at so many people that are just going through so many things? Mm-hmm. And these are folks that have been hurt in Syria. I mean, and they come to Israel terrified. They need mm-hmm. medical treatment, but they come terrified because they don't want anyone from Syria to find out that they're there.
Right.
Because Islam.
Yeah.
The people who listen and pay attention to what Muhammad wrote mm-hmm. was that you're supposed to destroy Israel and push them into the sea.
Right.
So this is not like they don't like you.
Right.
This is what they've been hearing every day or throughout in their mosques from those that are speaking to them, was that these are the Israeli, the Jews, the mm-hmm. heathen, the
infidels.
And we're supposed to push them into the sea. And in the Quran, it says very specifically that even the rocks will say, hey, come and get me. There's a Jew under here. Can they come out?
And here, quote-unquote, the infidel is helping them, bandaging their wounds. And the children are caught
between.
It's
obviously not an infidel. It's the opposite. It's like the lie that we talked about. So it's like, oh, wait a minute. That means the Jews are God's people.
Exactly.
That's what that means. It means that, oh, my goodness, I get it now.
Exactly.
That's baby breath.
Yes.
This is... The Jews are God's chosen people. That's why, and they're helping, just like God would, they're helping the Syrian victims.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I want you to listen to CBN as they report more about this.
Well, Syria's two-year civil war has killed more than 110,000 people and forced as many as 2 million to flee the country. A small number of those badly wounded are seeking help in Israel. Chris Mitchell brings us that story.
This young Syrian man came to an Israeli hospital after a blast caused massive head wounds. He's one of about 150 who have mysteriously crossed the Syrian border into enemy territory for life-saving medical treatment.
Love your enemies. We have a tragedy in Syria, and hundreds and thousands of people, they have no houses, they are injured, they suffer from cold, from pain, and who take care for them.
Dr. Masad Barhoum, a Christian Arab, leads the Western Galilee Hospital in Nahariya near the Lebanese border. They've taken in about 70 Syrians.
I still remember the first one who came to our hospital, major injury in his head from blast trauma. And after 10 days, he was walking.
The 54-mile border between Israel and Syria stretches from Mount Hermon through the Golan Heights. How did the wounded cross? Only the Israeli army knows, and they're not telling. The hospital simply receives a call from the army that they're bringing wounded Syrians.
It's typical war injuries, including shrapnel wounds, including bullets, including blast injuries.
Current Syrian patients were afraid to go on camera. Most are men, but 8 children have been treated, including this 3-year-old girl who came alone and unconscious with severe burns to her face.
And she woke up, and she had nobody around. So she was just crying because she was afraid and alone.
Doctors say the Syrians probably would have died without the Israeli care, and the trauma goes beyond their physical wounds.
They are so afraid, so troubled from waking up in an enemy place, in a place they don't know the language.
About half the hospital staff speaks Arabic, and Bahum says that and the love they're shown helps the Syrians calm down.
Just to come, say, be calm. I love you. I'm going to help you. And they have a small smile. They make me my day.
And when a patient is well enough, the Israeli army takes him back to the border. Even though the number is small, Barhum says he and his staff are grateful for the opportunity to help the suffering Syrians. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Nahariya, Israel.
Wow.
Be calm. Mm. I love you. I'm going to help you. Yeah. That's the God that we serve.
Wow. That's the God that we serve.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, my goodness.
We need to wake up. This is not stuff that the traditional media is reporting and sharing, but this is Israel showing the love of God. You know, my 3-year-old daughter last night had a fever, and my heart just melted for her. She had a fever, high fever, extremely hot. It broke, thank God.
Praise God.
But yeah, you see this 3-year-old girl who shows up, her alone, scared, burnt. Terrified, burnt, and to know that Israelis were there to help them. Listen, God loves mankind. He loves everyone. And it's us being able to show the love of God. And I love what he says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. That's what God tells us.
And you think about it, that, you know, waiters and waitresses, you know, which we appreciate, and but quite often it's like, well, I'm only going to pay attention to the tables that are going to tip me. And the church has kind of taken on that mindset that if you will follow Jesus, if you will show up at my, quote, church, unquote, then I will be kind to you. But Jesus showed us his heart, God's heart, when he said, when the rich young ruler shows up and he says, what do I need to do to be saved? And Jesus tells him, you know, nails him in regards to where he was in his life and revealed to him what he needed to do, because that was what his God. He had to give up his God, which was for him was money. And he goes, this is really tough. And he walked away sad because he wasn't going to give. He didn't want to give up his wealth. And this is what the Word of God says, and this is what Jesus said. He said, this says, when he's walking away, his back was turned on him, turned on God. It says, but Jesus loved him. You have to understand, people are deceived. They don't understand their Creator is God. They don't understand that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life. The enemy has them captive, and we have to speak past the captivity and understand, even if they're caught up in a false religion that's anti-Jesus, that God loves Muslims, you know, even if their sin is not like your sin that God's forgiven you for, and you might be turned off by and turned on by your own sin in your flesh, but turned off by their choice of sin that they fall to. God loves them, folks. He loves them as much as he loves you. And if you don't straighten up and start thinking, you know, the right way about that, then he'll demonstrate that to you.
Oh, yes.
And Israel's, I mean, that's God. Because these children are going to go back up under their parents. And they have no idea how that's going to turn out. They have no idea. But they're patient. They're kind. I mean, they were persecuted. They were struck down. Many were destroyed, taken everything from them. I mean, Sears and Roebuck and all these companies we know today, by the way, it's not even, it's like half, a tenth of the company it used to be. Ford, you know, different companies that was involved during those times of the persecution of the Jews, that they were making money off their labor. And in the context of that, they're still loving folks. They're still saying, let's get along. Let's have a peace meeting. Let's work this out. Let's talk with the people that want to push us in the sea. And that is a demonstration of a grace that only can come from God. It's not from a man's wisdom. And that's what God has done. God has blessed Israel because they're the apple of his eye. And he's showing himself. God, the creator of the universe, who sits in the center of everything totally created, loves you and has got a plan for your life. And he's demonstrating his love for mankind through Israel, and supposed to be through the church, by the way, guys. We're supposed to be loving Israel and loving others and leading other people to love God and love others. That's us. And even loving them even when they walk away from us. Loving them when they accuse us and lie about us and twist what we do and all those different things. It's like, oh my goodness, love them through it. Love them through it, because there will be a day that we stand before love himself. Did you know that God doesn't love, but he is love. God is love. He is love. He's not like something he does. It's something that he is. Mm-hmm. And this is what he says. If you say you love him, but you don't love your brother, he says, you know what he says? This is going to be a shocker. I know it's going to be a shocker, especially to 81% of you. That you're a liar. I'm going to say it nicer. You're a liar. Well, you're a liar. You know, think about it. That's what he said, right? I'm just listening. Hey,
that's what it is.
That's what was translated when it broke loose from the Catholic Church back in 1611. He came through.
That's it.
Find the original text. I just read it was translated.
Wycliffe
and Tyndall and the Puritans and John Calvin and all those. But I'm telling you, he said you're a liar because this is why he said that. This is why he said that. This is what it says next. I can tell you why, in the context of it. But I can say, he said, because if you can't love a man that you can see, if you can't love your brother that you can see, there's no way that you can love God that you can't see. Mm-hmm. See, what happens is people create their own God, and they have a designer God. I mean, it's been happening since mankind. They've carved it out of stone. They carve it out of stuff. They carve it out of imaginations, and they just say, this is my God, and they bow down to it. And they say, this is my God. And they describe God to you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, that's Muhammad's God. That's not Jesus' father. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. Or, you know, that's Buddha's God. I mean, that's mm-hmm. not, you know, that's not, or that's another Jesus. That's not the same Jesus that if you read, you know, you're the 81% that don't read. Let me tell you, read the Bible.
Right.
I can't go there. Chris and I, anyway, we were having fun about it. They don't read. And we waited. Oh, anyway, so. And, understand that he says that you can't, if you don't do what we just saw, and you can see this on the VFN torch, what John just talked about, you can see these poor child with chemical weapons that peeled her face, that could not even speak Hebrew, was probably speaking Farsi, that came there, and you imagine you're in this pain, you're brought into this land, I mean, your child, don't matter, even if you speak the same language, children are terrified at the doctor's office. And he says these words, and this is what God would say to you, no matter even if you hate him, this is what he will tell you. And if you walk away from him, this is what he will tell you. Even though you're making a choice to walk into the pits of hell by choice, he still would say, be calm. I love you. I want to help you. I've laid down my life for you. I'll forgive you. I paid for your sins. God loves you so much that he gave me Jesus as a sacrifice for you. And I love the Father so much, and I love you so much that I was willing to lay my life down for you. Because all this evilness that we're talking about, you're right, it is evil. And it had to be dealt with. But Jesus would tell you, I took all that on. I took Al-Qaeda on. I took Islamic beliefs on. I took Muhammad on. I took all this crazy stuff going on. I took all the evil bullies and the robbers and the murderers and all the sin. I took all the sin of the world on. And the price that was due, each individual, including you, I let the blows of that hit me. So that it wouldn't have to hit you. I let my own father, while I was being voluntarily, by my own choice, sacrificed on a cross publicly in Jerusalem for the whole world, for your sins, I let my own father pay the price, sacrifice. He hit me for you. I was struck by my Father who I love, Father God, and I allowed it because sin had to be disciplined. And my Father who never turned away from me ever, 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 ever in all eternity had to turn his face because I had your sin on me. But I was paying the price for you. And then once I passed on the cross, they buried my body in the grave for 3 days. And I went down to a place that every man was destined to outside of this, what I'm telling you about, hell, the flames of hell. And I took the keys. I took back the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Ho! And on the third day, once me and my Father, God, once Jesus and God had resolved and dealt with the very thing that separated us from him, he rose him from the dead. Suddenly this Jesus, the Son of God that did all that for us, was dead, and all of a sudden now, guess what? He's alive. He's alive. I've been to the tomb. I've been there. Pat and I have been there. We've been there. And we went and we looked where he laid. And guess what? He's not there anymore. And you know what's written on the door? He has risen. He's risen from the dead. I mean, think about this. And to get to drive this reality home of the creator of the universe, to drive this love of God home to mankind, he walked amongst us. He walked amongst mankind. And it was such an awesome encounter when he was raised from the dead that holy men began to break out of their graves. People began to crawl out of their tombs that have been dead. And they're looking at these holy men. It's like, holy, holy, my goodness, what's happening? Listen, if we only have hope for this life alone, Paul said, writer over half of the New Testament, under the unction of the Spirit of God, that we should be pitied more than anyone else. Than anyone else. But we have the hope of eternal life. This life is a vapor. And what happened after he walked for a few days on the face of the earth and in the resurrection of the dead, he was the first to be raised from the dead. Then others begin to be raised from the dead to prove positive. Listen, that when we die, we will no longer be in the grave, but we'll be risen from the dead to be standing absent from this body is to be present with God. That's what he was showing. And suddenly when his disciples were watching and talking with him, to be able to paint this home, like the creator of the universe who sits in the center of all creation is just driving this home, this is what he does. Okay, listen, son. Mm-hmm. Yes, Father. Mm-hmm. This is God and Jesus. I'm going to move you real slow. I'm going to begin to lift you up like an inch off the ground. And so they're watching you. And then I'm going to lift you a little bit more. And a little bit more, they're going to get the idea. Okay, it doesn't look like he's going to be here. He's going to be leaving. Then he moves a little bit higher, a little bit higher. I mean, God created us. He knows us, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he lifts us higher, and he lifts us higher. We first had to see him walk. We had to see him born. We had to see him live a sinless life. We had to see him die on the cross. We had to see him buried in the grave. We had to see that he was risen from the grave. And now we had to see this very important thing, that now he was ascending off the earth and he was going slowly enough for them to look up. He's literally going in the air. He's going in the air. Jesus, the Son of God. By the way, this is why Satan hates Jesus so much, because he's the real God, you know, and he loves, you know. And so he's going up and he's going up, and all of a sudden you can imagine this kind of fades with the natural eye. And of course, the disciples are probably looking up going, where are you going, Jesus? You know, because they were expecting him to start a natural kingdom here, and it unfolded. And this is what happened. Messengers of God appeared in the sky. Angels who stand in the presence of God showed up in the place where they saw Jesus disappear. And this is what they said. Why are you looking up here? Why are you looking? Why? This same Jesus, this loving, caring, dying for your sins, taking on the sin of the world, Jesus, the Son of God, who willingly allowed his Father to turn his face from him for the first time ever and the last time ever in the history of what we would ever know, is coming back again. He's coming back for his church, for those who said yes to him. I mean, why would you not say yes to a loving God like this that even loved us when we were walking in sin? Why we were still in sin? He paid this price for us. And even at times when we walked away from him, he still loved us like the rich young ruler. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. Don't believe this dark times, this dark age. Listen, it is time for you to shine. It is time for you to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Listen, he's demonstrated his love for you. And how you'll know you love him is when you begin to love people, when you begin to lay down your life for people. You can have all this religious experience you want to, but if you treat people with hate and malice and discontent and bitterness, you are partnering with the devil, because Jesus loves them and he's got a plan for their life. And he gave his life for the very one that you're criticizing and that you're coming against. Listen, if you haven't yet made a choice to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, now is your time. We shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. It's meetmyfather.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an I something or an N something, and put it on your desk at work, and you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what? You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Oh. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved. Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We just want to give an update of what's taking place with the Navy Yard shooting massacre that took place yesterday in Washington. This tragedy that took place. First, I want to be able to tell you that, you know, CBN News is reporting that this particular man, this young man, is addicted. He was addicted to digital games. Mm-hmm. Addicted to digital games. Listen up to the CBN News right here reporting, and we want to talk about this. Listen up, CBN News.
Investigators are piecing together clues about the motive behind Monday's massacre at the Navy Yard in Washington. 13 people are dead after Monday's shooting rampage, including the shooter. 8 people are injured. Today, authorities search for clues about the suspect and why he did it. A deadly shooting in the heart of the nation's capital.
We have an active shooter on the fourth floor.
The FBI says 34-year-old Aaron Alexis was behind the attack. He's identified as a civilian contractor and military veteran, and he had a valid pass and security clearance to enter the Navy Yard. But Alexis's motive is a mystery. Today, authorities are seeking the public's help.
We are looking to learn everything we can about his recent movements, his contacts, and his associates.
The father of the suspect once described his son as having anger management problems. And it turns out Alexis had a history of disturbing behavior. In 2010, he was accused of recklessly discharging a firearm into a neighbor's apartment. And in 2004, he confessed to shooting out the tires of another man's car. But Alexis was not a loner. And friends were shocked to hear he would go on a shooting rampage.
I actually believe that he did that anyway. So he's not that kind of guy to kill people.
Former roommates who lived with Alexis earlier this year in Texas say he was a practicing Buddhist, but they also say he was upset with the military since being discharged in 2011.
He just was upset with the government about all that and just very, he just felt slighted by his benefits and by what he was getting each month.
Meanwhile, the deadly shooting has reignited talk about gun control. On Capitol Hill, Senator Dianne Feinstein said, quote, Congress must stop shirking its responsibility and resume a thoughtful debate on gun violence in this country. It's still unclear how Alexis was able to get an assault-style rifle inside the Navy Yard. Security requires guests to pass through turnstiles watched by security guards before entering. Investigators say they are confident Alexis was the only shooter.
And joining us now with more is Jessie Jane Duff, a retired gunnery sergeant in the U.S. Marine Corps. She is with Concerned Veterans for America. So the suspect had been discharged from the Navy reportedly over a shooting incident, but he was still given a security clearance as a contractor. Did somebody drop the ball here?
Well, I'd like to see what the investigation shows, because everybody goes through the same security process, and I think a lot of people don't understand that. Even if you're a contractor, the paperwork is exactly the same for all people getting the clearance. And maybe they looked into the incident and didn't feel that he was a threat in some manner security-wise, and his access may have been limited just to the base and a unsecured area. He went and stole an ID card that allowed him to get into that other building.
Amazing. You're listening to CBN News, the motives of this particular shooter, Aaron Alexis. I want to tell you that, you know, Washington, I believe it was the Telegraph. The Telegraph was reporting that Aaron Alexis, this Washington Navy Yard gunman, was obsessed with violent video games. Violent video games. Listen, it does matter. We're going to talk about that. How's God designed the human body? How's he designed our mind? Join us in the extra hours. We're going to be talk about how our imagination works. Listen, it's real, and it's important how we get it to be in compliance with how God's created us to be able to be. Aaron Alexis, the shooter, the murderer, was addicted to violent video games. Listen, America, if we continue to feed this into the minds of our people, this is what we're going to continue to see. Join us in the extra hour. We'll continue the talk. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
Right, we have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now. Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcasts.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level. Linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch. John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And yes, everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out, you know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV
or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.